Joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, and he's going to be with us until 8:30 this morning. He is a Republican Party gubernatorial candidate. We are meeting him for the first time. Honored to have on Brad and Dan, Bob Stefanowski. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Guys, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it. I look forward to the next hour.
And thank you for the book. We have a book that Dan has got and that I have, Dr. Arthur Laffer, father of the Laffer Curve and economic advisor to guess who? Presidents Reagan and Trump. And we got the book here signed.
Yes, you know Dr. Laffer. Let's start there, Bob. How do you know him?
Yeah, I've known Dr. Laffer for about 20 years. We worked together at GE, helped me on a couple clients, and he actually convinced my middle daughter to become a Republican, so I'm eternally, I'm eternally grateful to him for that. He said, Rachel, what do you think happens if people that work, if you keep taxing them and keep taking more and more money away from them and you give it to people that don't work, what do you think is going to happen over time? And the answer is obviously, well, people are not going to work. So, he's very good at boiling things down to very concise concepts. We're doing a session in Windsor on Monday at 7:30 at the hotel in Windsor, and I'd like to get as much of your audience to come to that. It's complimentary. It's not a fundraiser. We're going to talk about my economic plan. I've been working with Dr. Laffer for 4 months now. We've got to get this economy moving in Connecticut. We've got to lower taxes, and I'm going to be rolling out. It's endorsed by Dr. Laffer. We're both going to be there, and I hope as many of your listeners can come as can make it.
This is going to be Monday morning at 7:30 in Windsor.
Correct.
7:30 to 9:30, is it?
7:30 to 9:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn at 55 Corporate Drive. If you want to sign up for it, you should go to my website, www.bobforgovernor.com. There's a What's Happening section. There's a lot of other good stuff up on the website as well. And it'll be fun. It'll be a good discussion. Get to hear Dr. Laffer. We'll talk about, you know, Trump's plan for the nation on tax. We'll talk about what we're going to do in Connecticut. But as you guys know, we got to get this economy moving.
Oh.
I mean, we're just taxed crazy in this state. We got to get it changed.
Is this what motivated you, though? And we need people like yourself. And to have somebody like Dr. Laffer involved, and I think this breakfast that you and Dr. Laffer are going to have is tremendous. And I'm sure you're going to get many of our listeners there, really.
Yeah, listen, I'm like a lot of people out there. I love this state. I'm tired of what Dan Malloy and the liberal politicians have done. Tax and spend is just not the way to go. If you look at Connecticut, before the income tax, the 15 years before the income tax was put in, we were growing the fastest of any state in the nation. Since that income tax was put in, we're 46th in the nation in terms of economic growth. We're last in terms of job creation. If there's not a better example of the benefit of lowering taxes and supply-side economics in Connecticut, it is the perfect case study about what we shouldn't do. We got to lower that tax rate going forward.
And you know, Bob, I remember a governor who was against it, and I think one of the best we ever had, the longest serving, and that was Bill O'Neill.
Yep.
Bill O'Neill, who happened to be a conservative Democrat, and he was against that income tax, and we almost won. If they didn't get a couple of people to leave, we would have not had one now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Weicker came in, he said he wasn't going to do it, and he did it.
And he did.
And, I've been doing some work with Tom Scott. Tom Scott had 60,000 people, as you know, at the state capitol protesting against it. And we got to get rid of it over time, and that's going to be part of my plan.
So you've never run for a political office before?
I haven't. I've been in business for 20 years. I've been in some pretty political organizations. I was the chief financial officer of UBS Investment Bank. We had a $500 billion business, which is 10 times the size of the state of Connecticut's budget. And I spent a lot of time at General Electric, where I was CEO of a bunch of different divisions that we had to turn around. And those are the skills that can be transferred to this state. I think, Dan, we really need to get, you know, we need a leader. We need somebody with gravitas. We need somebody that can make the tough decisions. I've been able to do that in the business world for the past 30 years, and I can absolutely do it for the state of Connecticut.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here because Lori Pelletier, who's the president of the Connecticut AFL-CIO, is already out there saying that running government is not like running a business. And then she points to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who says that?
Listen, Dan, I love that question. You know, first of all, we've got somebody in office in Dan Malloy who was a two-term mayor in Stanford. Nancy Wyman was the CFO of this state for a bunch of years. You know, having government experience in the top office hasn't worked for this state, number one. So the premise of the question, I would argue, is a little bit off. Second, you know, I started at GE as a financial analyst. It's a company with 330,000 employees, and I raised all the way to a top officer in the company. You don't get to do that without being able to politically influence people, get people who don't necessarily report to you to do things that you need them to do, have a commitment, have integrity, and do it. And then finally, the reason I've been successful in my career is I surround myself with different types of people, and I listen to them. You know, if you own a shoe store, you don't have to have been manufacturing shoes for the last 30 years. You know how to, you need to know how to motivate people and get them to come in. I can do that. There are plenty of people with government experience in this state. There's probably too many. I can get a lieutenant governor who knows how to work the system. I've got legislatures all around me. What we need is a leader that this state can be proud of, somebody that's got integrity, and somebody that's got the experience, who's had a real job turning around organizations, and that's exactly what I've done.
How did Dr. Arthur Laffer, father of the Laffer curve, how did he get into advising President Reagan and Trump? That's interesting, these two particular leaders.
Well, they're very similar. I mean, if you look at Reagan, Reagan did a lot of things that we need in this state. He brought optimism back. You know, I lived overseas for about 7 years, and then I came back, and it was amazing to me, you know, high taxes, how worn down people are. We need to have some optimism in this state, and that's exactly what Dr. Laffer and I with this economic plan are going to do. It's not too late to fix this state, but we got to start with the economy. So Reagan was smart enough. Laffer was smart enough. He worked with Margaret Thatcher over in London. She was smart enough. That it starts with the economy and getting people back to work. And the way to do that is to lower regulation, to lower taxes, and get people to feel good about this state again. When I came back, it was amazing. The roads were horrible. That's the highest tax burden in the nation. People are kind of running around with their heads down. We need to start to be proud of this state again, and it starts with getting this new plan out there and getting this economy moving.
Okay, and I think that's the key. You and Dr. Laffer have collaborated on a plan to turn around Connecticut. Isn't that correct?
We've been working on it for about 3 months now. I went down to Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't have an income tax. Look at the rebirth of that state. I spent time with Dr. Laffer down there. We've spent months coming up with the plan, and the big rollout is next Monday. We're going to go to 6 locations across the state. We're going to outline it. It's detailed, it's actionable, and it's going to work.
In fact, Brad and I are going to be at one of the events Monday.
I hope you don't eat all the food.
We're going Monday. Monday's our day.
I'm fascinated to hear
about
this.
It's going to be a terrific event.
I am too.
It's going to give people hope, right? It's not going to be easy. We can't get rid of the state income tax in 1 year. You know, the deficit is too big. The underfunded pension plan is too big. But what we can do is start to chip away at it and give people a reason to come to Connecticut. Give businesses a reason to come to Connecticut.
Well, can you at least give us a hint? You mentioned the state income tax.
Yeah.
Does this plan, and I don't expect any tax to be eliminated overnight, but I would like to hear a politician or someone who's running for political office say that we are coming up with a plan that weans us off certain taxes. My dream has always been to wean us off of the state income tax.
Yeah.
Does this include that?
It does. It does. And I'm not going to give you all the details, otherwise you won't show up on Monday. But there's a couple easy ones, right? The gift and the estate tax. It generates less than 1% of what we spend every year. And it drives people out of this state. I had to check this number 5 times to make sure it was true. But do you realize over the last 10 years, we've lost $6 billion of adjusted gross income for people leaving for Florida?
Wow.
And that's a tax.
$6
billion? $6 billion. In adjusted gross income, and that would have been taxed. So you've got an estate tax out there that's driving less than 1% of what we spend, and it's driving droves of people away. The only state that's got a worse number of migration is West Virginia. That's what we've come to, where our people leaving the state is surpassed only by West Virginia. So the gift and the estate tax is easy. The other one that's easy is the business entity tax. right? Why are we charging every company in Connecticut an arbitrary $250 a year? You know what that raises every year? It raises $45 million. In this last budget, we just gave the state of Hartford $45 million to avoid a bankruptcy that they're never going to avoid. We should have saved that money, given it to small business, because that's going to be the growth engine of this economy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Malloy and these liberal politicians, they make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, and that's why I'm running.
Okay. Well, very, very interesting.
I know we have a traffic report.
Got a traffic report coming up, and let's see. Cindy, good morning, good morning, good morning. How's the traffic checking out right now?
Well, Brad, it's not doing too badly. It's bumper to bumper on 84, but that's nothing out of the ordinary through the Waterbury area. And we also have some tie-ups as you continue your ride out towards I-91. 291 East, that's another story. As you approach the Bissell Bridge, we've got a multi-car crash in the right lane causing backups to 91. 2 westbound accident on the shoulder. Right around exit 4, and also we're seeing some slowdowns on 9 North through the Arrigoni Bridge. Stoplights, a closure on Route 69 between Clark Road and Bond Road with an accident, so stay with Route 63 as your alternate between Waterbury and New Haven. This report is brought to you by Connecticut Toyota Dealers. When you're on the road, your safety is top priority. That's why advanced safety features come standard on the all-new 2018 Toyota Camry. Toyota, let's go places. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And it is 7:47, 13 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and a very, very special guest with us this morning, Bob Stefanowski, who's a Republican candidate for governor and is working with someone who is known all over the country. Pardon me. And we got a book, the New York Times bestseller, An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of the States. I can't wait to read this one.
Well, I don't know about the wealth of our state. As you know, Bob, we have a lot of debt. We are something
lots
like $72 billion in unfunded pension liabilities, in addition to how we bond money left and right. What are your thoughts on this?
Listen, we've got to have another discussion about CBAC. It's obvious, and the sooner somebody steps up and admits that they need to do it, the better. You can have a lot of legal arguments about whether it's enforceable, breakable, or not, but I've been negotiating contracts for 30 years. If one of the parties to a contract doesn't have the ability to execute, it's not enforceable. And the state of Connecticut, no matter how much I get this economy moving with my plan, it cannot make up a $72 billion underfunded pension plan. We need to be fair to the unions. I mean, they were, quote, promised this. And it's not their fault that nobody funded it over the last 10 years. But the money simply isn't there. You know, you look at what happened to the Medicaid this morning. You know, people are losing $100 checks at the same time. And these are the people that can least afford to lose it. At the same time, we're giving Hartford $40 million. And people are getting massive benefits at the state level. That's the elephant in the room. That's what I will address when I'm governor. I'm good at negotiation. I've negotiated billion-dollar mergers and acquisitions. I teach negotiations at Cambridge and Oxford and London. You got to get people to the table and have a rational discussion because the money simply isn't there.
So did the governor negotiate a bad deal when he extended this union contract to 2027?
Listen, when have you seen a contract extended 10 years? You know, you lose your perspective sometimes in the state.
I was ready to jump off the roof.
Where do you see a budget that's 130 days past due, and then within 30 days, it's out of balance by $200 million?
Right.
When I was CFO of UBS Investment Bank, if I had a budget that was 130 days past due, and then it was out of balance by $200 million within 30 days, I would have been out the door. How have we gotten to the point in Connecticut where that's acceptable? We need a governor who's got financial discipline, who can lead, who can make the tough decisions. I've been doing it for 30 years.
All right. Hold that thought.
Coming up to 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, these are some of the ideas for change that we need.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. A federal judge has ruled in favor of President Trump in his effort to appoint the acting head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The judge declined to stop the president from putting in place Mick Mulvaney, the White House's budget director. In doing so, The judge ruled against Leander English, the CFPB's deputy director. She says she will appeal. Thousands of Puerto Ricans remain homeless after Hurricane Maria, and many complain the federal government is taking too long to provide tarps for roofs. A newly created Florida company won more than $30 million in contracts from FEMA to provide tarps and plastic sheeting, but Bronstar LLC never delivered those urgently needed supplies, which even months later remain in demand in the U.S. territory. Jerome Powell, President Trump's pick to be chairman of the Fed, told senators at his confirmation hearing he believes some bank regulations can be rolled back, something the administration and Wall Street favor, but he stressed he will protect the central bank's political independence. That's your Money Now.
It is 7:51, 9 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and I've talked a great deal about the Cowen Tax Advisory Group. They are just tremendous, and you can learn your Medicare options and save yourself time, money, and aggravation. Yes, Dylan Cowen, you give him a call. You give him a call for an easy-to-understand review of plans and benefits. And all you have to do is call for your free appointment, and here's the number, 860-676-1100, 860-676-1100, or online at cowentaxgroup.com.
Have an unwanted house or need debt relief? Sell your house now for cash with MyHouseBuyer.com. Job loss, divorce, foreclosure, repairs, bankruptcy, fire damage, or inherited house you'll never use? No problem. Sell now with no agents, no hassle, and no stress with MyHouseBuyer.com. Call now, 860-325-SOLD. MyHouseBuyer.com. Sell your home hassle-free with no commissions, a cash offer within 24 hours, and closing when you want it. Free consultation, 860-325-SOLD. MyHouseBuyer.com.
Command Corporation in Bloomfield has been one of our nation's leading aerospace innovators for over 70 years. Founded in 1945 by aviation pioneer Charles Command, Command Corporation has become one of the world's most respected names in aerospace manufacturing and industrial distribution. Command is a leading distributor of industrial components from 250 locations across North America. Command Corporation of Bloomfield, leaders in aerospace and innovation since 1945.
The Brad and Dan Show, the talk of Connecticut.
It is 7:52 or 7:53, and a very special guest, Bob Stefanowski, a Republican candidate for governor, and a complimentary breakfast is coming up. And Bob, maybe you can go over that for us again for those who are just joining us.
Yeah, it's at the Hilton Garden Inn in Windsor. It's Monday morning. It's Dr. Arthur Laffer, who was Ronald Reagan's chief economist. We're going to be rolling out my economic plan for Connecticut. It's not a fundraiser. It's totally complimentary. Come by, have a bagel, you know, some juice. And the best way to sign up for it is on my website, which is www.bobforgovernor.com.
Bob, what are you doing? Because it seems everybody these days is running for governor. What are you doing to stand above the crowd? Obviously, this event on Monday is going to be a step, but what else are you doing to get your name out?
Well, I think the first thing is to have a specific plan. We do a lot of complaining about Malloy and everything else, but Malloy's not running, right? So we got to have a specific plan to give people some optimism that it can be fixed. So that was my number one priority, and that's coming out on Monday. The second was, in these days, a digital presence is just, you know, really, really important. So I've engaged Harris Media, who actually did Rick Scott's governor campaign in Florida. And that's really, we've had 64,000 views of my campaign video. We've got thousands of comments on Facebook. And people are reacting to it very well. We did a poll with McLaughlin & Associates, a national pollster. We asked people, what do you want in your next governor? Do you want another politician? You want to guess what the answer was? Only 28% of the people said they wanted a politician. People want an outsider. As you know, there's a lot of candidates, but I'm ahead of the curve on the digital media. I'm coming out with this plan. There's going to be a lot of press around it. It's going to be actionable. I think people are going to react to it. And I'm up and running now with my funding, with my campaign headquarters in Brantford. I've got advisors. I've got Harris Media. We are out there actively getting the name out.
What was your motivation? What was the original motivation? Because you were certainly not in the political world.
It's a couple things. Number one, you know, I like the state. I love the state. I was born in New Haven. My dad, you know, didn't go to college. He actually ran the scoreboard at the Yale Bowl for 30 years.
And, what a job, huh?
And I used to go and usher. And I remember if you got a quarter, you were happy. If I got 50 cents for showing somebody their seat, I was amazingly pleased. I went to public schools in North Haven. I went to a Connecticut college, Fairfield University, and I worked for GE and UBS. Then I went, and GE asked me to go to London for 10 years, actually 7 years, and then another three in Philadelphia. And I came back, and it was like, holy cow, what's happened to this state? What happened to the optimism? What happened to the economic growth? And by the way, it just happens to coincide with Dan Malloy and the liberal politicians being in power in Hartford. And I couldn't sit on the sidelines anymore. I've got three daughters. There's a lot of young people out there. We got to get a sense of optimism back in the state. We got to start making some tough decisions. And it all starts with the economy. And I think I'm uniquely qualified to do that. I've turned businesses around. I've got an economic plan. A lot of it's about leadership. You know, and being able to lead large organizations. We don't have that in the governor role right now, and I can bring it to this state.
We have a state, though, as you know, that, and you just mentioned the budget, 130 days past due. Now it's $200 million in the red.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you hear where the threshold for this coverage for those who are retired and need medical assistance has been lowered. How would you handle something like that? I mean, now all of a sudden people are going to have to reach into their pocket an additional $300 a month to get health insurance, and they're retired.
Well, that one you got to fix immediately. You know, I've been talking to a couple of legislators, Dave Iacarino out of North Haven. They surfaced it yesterday. They've promised that they're going to get on that. But I also think it's symptomatic of having an 800 to 900-page budget dropped on the legislator's desk with 10 minutes to look at it before you have to vote. There's going to be unintended consequences. And I am very sympathetic to the legislature. You got a governor with a big, fat veto pen sitting there who vetoed a budget that was infinitely better. But again, back to UBS or GE, if I went to Jack Walsh and said, here's an 880-page budget for a $40 billion spend, and give me your answer in the next 10 minutes?
They throw you out of the office.
You get thrown out. And these are some of the unintended consequences of doing that. You got to be more thorough. They need to correct that. That segment of the population, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, that's the place we should not be hurting. Those are the people we should be protecting.
Absolutely. And this, you know something? You hit it out of the ballpark, because I have met some, and Dan knows that, and they are in tough shape with what's going on right now. They really are. They'll get straightened out.
And it's sad that something like, and I'm sure it'll be corrected, and I've been promised by legislators that it will, but it's sad that it even happens.
Yeah. We have a lot to talk about with our guest, Bob Stefanowski. He's with us until 8:30 this morning, Brad. And when we come back following the news, and this is no secret because he has it on his website, and it's a great website. I urge people to visit it. What is it again?
Thank you. www.bobforgovernor.com.
bobforgovernor.com. And on the website, he has a plan for, among other things, the Department of Motor Vehicles.
All right.
We'll talk about it when we come back. But I'm telling you,
what a secret you saved.
I'm hearing things about DMV. I'm hearing things, not that there's anything wrong with the people that work at DMV, but I'm hearing things about DMV and the state income tax that I like, coming from Bob Stefanowski.
And we will be back with that and more. Stay with us, my dear friends. A special guest is with us today. 1-888-574-2723. It's 8 o'clock.
WDRC AM, WDRC FM, HD3 Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WWCO Waterbury, WMMW Meriden. The Brad and Dan Show, presented by Footprint Shoes and Accessories.
Another one falls. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. Today's show host Matt Lauer is the latest man now out of a job over claims of sexually inappropriate behavior. Live in New York, here's Fox's Tanya J. Powers.
Yesterday, Matt Lauer hosted his last Today's Show, and this morning, his co-host, including Al Roker, are covering Lauer's firing.
I'm dealing with the news of a friend of 30 years, and we're all trying to process it. Deal with it, and along with you folks as well.
A statement released by NBC chair Andrew Lack says a detailed complaint was received Monday night from a colleague about inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace by Lauer. It goes on to say it's the first complaint about his behavior in more than 20 years he's been at NBC News, but they have reason to believe it may not be an isolated incident, Chris.
Well, Tanya, President Trump tweeted a few minutes ago, "Wow, Matt Lauer was just fired from NBC for inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace." But when will the top executives at NBC and Comcast be fired for putting out so much fake news? The president says about North Korea's latest missile test, we'll take care of it. The United Nations Security Council holds an emergency meeting about the launch today. More on that missile now from Fox's Rachel Sutherland in D.C.
Chris, the successful launch was triumphantly announced on state-run media.
Pyongyang
saying the nuclear-capable intercontinental ballistic missile is significantly more powerful than any before, and that the country is now able to strike anywhere on the U.S. mainland. Defense Secretary James Mattis says South Korea responded by firing pinpoint missiles in the nearby waters to make sure the North understands it can be taken under fire by the South. Chris.
Rachel, thanks. A suspect in a series of shootings in Tampa, Florida, is being charged with four counts of first-degree murder. Howell Emmanuel Donaldson, 24 years old, was arrested after a tip from a McDonald's co-worker that he had a gun. It's been matched to bullet casings from the murder scenes.
In the battle between darkness and light, light has won.
Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn. Fox News, fair and balanced.
Life happens. With ADT, you can feel safe with an ADT starter kit professionally installed for only $49. Call today and install an ADT starter kit that includes security panel, keypad, key fob, entry and motion sensors, and for a limited time, get a camera included and installed at no additional cost. That's a $449 value installed for just $49.
Requires 36-month monitoring contract QSB and easy pay activation. Early term fees may apply. Certain marks excluded. License available at ADT.com. Florida EF001121 UZF1639.
When it comes to the holidays, the hustle and bustle doesn't stop. Well, unless your car breaks down. Whatever this season brings, it helps to have Hum by Verizon. Hum is the connected car system that assists and empowers drivers. Now you can check your car's health from your phone, get help if you're stuck on the side of the road, and if Hum detects a crash, it can automatically notify emergency services. It's a smart way to stay informed about your car and keep your family safer on the road. This holiday season, get Hum and get where you're going. Visit Hum.com or your local Verizon store for special holiday savings.
Conservative commentators arrested after an altercation during a speech at the University of Connecticut. Lucian Wintrich is charged with breach of peace. There's video of him running after and grabbing a woman who appeared to take some paperwork off the lectern he was using for a speech called It's Okay to Be White. Other audience members jumped in. Wintrich is the White House correspondent for the website Gateway Pundit. He writes on Twitter after being released, "The leftist media is turning Americans against each other." Babies born next year in Arkansas might not be able to get a birth certificate if a certain state law isn't amended. It requires a man and a woman to be named as parents.
An Arkansas judge says he will order the state to stop issuing birth certificates if the state's laws about how those documents are written are not changed. Judge Tim Fox in Pulaski County, Arkansas, says the birth certificates, as they currently exist, illegally favor heterosexual parents. He ruled 2 years ago it was unconstitutional, and the U.S. Supreme Court upheld his findings. But now the judge wants the state and the same-sex couples who sued over it to come up with how to fix the statutes, giving them a January 5th deadline. Eben Brown, Fox News.
Glitter may be good for arts and crafts and strippers, but it's also being called a threat to the environment.
Scientists at Massey University in New Zealand say it poses a threat to the oceans, where marine animals have been known to eat plastic, often killing them. Not only that, the scientists say, when fish eat the glitter and then we eat the fish, we end up putting that plastic into our bodies. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
The CEO of Reynolds American Tobacco stepping down at the end of the year. Deborah Crew just took the job a year ago. A spokesman calls her resignation a purely personal decision. crew will be replaced by Ricardo Oberlander. He's a member of the Reynolds Board of Directors. Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, Dow futures are up 75 points. Chris Foster, Fox News Radio.
Erin Connolly for Channel 3 Eyewitness News. North Korea fires a ballistic missile, the first missile fired in more than 2 months. The missile landed in the Sea of Japan after being in the air for about nearly an hour. U.S. officials say North Korea is continuing to develop its missiles, rocket fuel, and engines, as well as targeting and guidance systems. Lawmakers are taking a much closer look at the weeks-long impasse between Hartford HealthCare and Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, figuring out if more could have been done. The two companies came to a deal about 2 weeks ago, but not before healthcare was disrupted for thousands. Yesterday, they apologized, but lawmakers say more needs to be done. They're looking at proposals that would force companies to have an arbitrator if they can't reach an agreement on their own. President Trump made his third appearance on Capitol Hill in a little over a month to sell tax reform. The GOP is still trying to win over holdouts, but Democrats Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi didn't show up for a scheduled meeting after President Trump attacked them on Twitter and wrote, "I don't see a deal." Tuesday afternoon, the Budget Committee passed the GOP plan, sending the tax bill to the full Senate for a vote that's expected this week. And the nominations for the 2018 Grammy Awards have been revealed. Rapper Jay-Z, who is a 21-time Grammy winner, leads the pack with 8 nominations, including Record of the Year. Kendrick Lamar follows with 7 nominations, while Bruno Mars scored 6. The 60th Annual Grammy Awards will air live from Madison Square Garden in New York City on January 28th. That's the news on the Talk of Connecticut. I'm Erin Connolly, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
So your son got home safe last night? Tom said he had a flat tire.
Yeah, he was out past curfew and got stuck on Route 1, but Liberty Mutual went out and took care of it for him.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, a flat, jump, or toe. It's no problem no matter where or when with their roadside assistance.
What was he doing out so late anyway?
Getting himself grounded for a month.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Good morning. Delays on 84 eastbound through Waterbury. It is bumper to bumper. More tie-ups from Route 9 in Farmington to I-91 and westbound. Zero out of call. Governor Street to Sigourney Street. 291 east as you approach the Bissell Bridge. Multi-car crash has the right lane down. Delays back on to 91 for that one. 91 south is at a crawl from exits 38 down to I-84. Northbound side of Route 9 is slammed through the Aragone Bridge stoplights. And on Route 69, you've got a closure between Clark Road and Bond Road with an accident in Bethany. This is about a mile north of the parkway. Exit 59 near the reservoir. Stay with Route 63 as your alternate between Waterbury and New Haven. Also, we are working on some tie-ups on 691 eastbound as you make your way over to Wilbur Cross Parkway. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:15 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, my friends, I have a question for you. When the time comes for you to purchase a memorial for a loved one, would you rather speak with a commission salesperson or with a person who is actually going to design and manufacture that memorial? The answer is obvious. And that's why you need to call my good friends, a wonderful family, a great team at Sacco Memorials. No matter if you're Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, Sacco Memorials proudly serves all faiths. And the person you consult with will be directly involved in the creation of your memorial. And you won't believe the quality, I'm telling you, the beauty of their finished products. But you'll see it. It'll be yours. Your loved one deserves something worthy of their memory. Wouldn't you agree? Zaco may not be the biggest place around, but they are definitely the best. Visit Zaco Memorials on Blue Hills Avenue in Bloomfield or online at zacomemorials.com. Zaco Memorials, creating a lasting memory.
He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, Brad, running for governor, seeking the Republican Party gubernatorial nomination, Bob Stefanowski. Bob, give our audience, I know you touched upon it briefly, how you worked at Yale Bowl, you come from a working class family, but give our audience an overview of what your career has been about.
Yeah, so again, North Haven Public Schools, first generation of the family to go to college, went to Fairfield University. Then I put my way with loans and working through Cornell University for an MBA in finance. I'm a certified public accountant. I'm a certified fraud examiner. I'm a certified financial analyst. I do a lot of teaching. I teach at Yale. I teach at Cambridge and Oxford, negotiations, leadership. The biggest portion of my career was at General Electric, where I started as a financial analyst. It's a company with 300,000 employees. And over a 14-year career, I worked my way up to where Jack Welch anointed me as a company officer. And the next role was with CFO of UBS Investment Bank. And that's a business with $500 billion of assets. It's 10 times the budget of the state of Connecticut. And I think having the experience of running large organizations and turning things around, which I did repeatedly at GE, is a skill set we really need. You think about what we need in this governor, somebody who can negotiate, somebody who's got fiscal discipline, somebody who's got presence, and somebody that can lead. And I've developed all of those skills over the last 20, 25 years.
Now, I'll guarantee you, you're going to get asked this in the debates, and there will be debates. Yeah. If you were governor, would you have kept GE's headquarters in Connecticut?
Listen, I wasn't there at the time. I'm not a big fan of giving big, and I've worked for big companies. I'm not a big fan of giving them big subsidies and bribes to stay. I think what we should do is support the small business community. Part of my economic plan, I've got dozens of small businesses that are on my economic advisory board. That's going to be the real. I don't have anything against big companies, but I'd rather take those $20 million subsidies and use it to stimulate small business, because those are the entities that are going to create growth. On the other hand, to get corporations to come back to this state, we got to phase out this corporate income tax. It's higher than our neighbors. It's the sixth highest corporate tax rate in the nation. And it only generates about 5% of what we spend every year. We got to give corporations a reason to come back to Connecticut and reverse the damage that's been done over the last 10 years.
Did it take you a long time just listening to you? Just listening to you.
Yes, sir.
You have a whole different concept than some of the folks that we have listened to. And has this always been the way you feel?
Listen, I've always been a supply-sider. I think lower taxes, lower regulation, getting the private sector is better at running anything, including the Department of Motor Vehicles, than the government is ever going to do. It started with Art Laffer 20 years ago. I've always been an expert in finance. We did this poll we did with McLaughlin. You know what people are concerned about in this state? 80% jobs, taxes, the budget, the economy. That plays right to my wheelhouse. CFO of UBS Investment Bank, turning around businesses at GE, efficient tax policies. It's exactly what this state needs in our next governor.
Now, how long will it take, do you think?
Listen, I've said, I never dreamt I'd be, you know, running for office. I didn't have any idea I'd be a politician. I don't want to be a career politician. I've told people, if I can move this thing in the right direction, and I don't get reelected after 4 years, I'm okay with that. I'd love to get reelected. But if I can move this, we need somebody to start moving it in the right direction. It's not going to happen overnight, but we got to start somewhere, and we got to start by lowering taxes. We've had five tax increases since 1991. What's that done for us? We've got a $5 billion deficit that's grown by the day. At a minimum, we got to reverse the trend and start somewhere. And somebody needs to make that hard decision, and I'm absolutely willing to do it.
Now, I teased the audience before the news, but let's go to DMV for just a moment. You would contract out DMV. What would you do?
Listen, I think we got to look at privatizing it. You know, there's a cottage industry right now without people that'll go to the DMV for you, wait in line, and then when they're at the counter, they call you so you can come in. You know, that's an example
that's
of the workarounds
people
do to get around a dysfunctional government.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, how many hours have you got to take a whole day off from work?
Yep. I've experienced it.
Oh, you have.
I mean, this is not to cut you off.
I spent three hours down there.
I've spent as many as 5 hours at DMV, and that's unacceptable.
And it's not, to your point earlier, it's not the people that work in the DMV. I'm sure they're good people, but it's a bureaucracy that's just out of control. And the private sector has proven time and time again they're better at running things, properly incented. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do.
Right. Well, another thing you said, too, and you're the first one to say it, that you're elected for 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's what you're concerned about, is those 4 years you've got to do something. You're not concerned about halfway through running again. You're concerned about what you're doing. This is what you are telling us, and this is what we have needed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing it because I care about the state. I mean, part of it's selfish. I don't want to have to fly down to Florida 5 years from now to see my grandkids. You know, I want to create an environment where my three daughters and young people have an opportunity to be here. And we need to start to get people to be positive again. The only way to do that is to start reversing what's been done over the last 8 years. And if I can move that ball in the right direction for 4 years, that's an accomplishment.
And your plan, which you will roll out on Monday, will offer this hope. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's lower taxes. We can talk about it after the break. We're going to have a Citizens Bill of Rights to be able to recall people that are up in office that don't do what they said they were going to do. We need to have more transparency around government, and we're going to get it done.
Go over this again so the folks listening that didn't hear it before, Bob, will know where you're going to
on Monday morning.
Where you're going to be on Monday morning.
Right.
We'll
be there during the day on Monday,
we're
but on Monday morning you're going to have a breakfast.
So the first place to see it is on my website, which is bobforgovernor.com in the What's Happening section. We're going to do 5 events across the state, but for your audience, probably the closest one is Windsor. It's Monday morning from 7:30 to 9:30. You can stop by at any time. It's at the Hilton Garden Inn. It's Dr. Arthur Laffer, who is Ronald Reagan's chief economist, and me. We're rolling out our economic plan. It's not a fundraiser. It's for me to get that plan out there and get this economy moving again.
Wow.
All right. I know we have a traffic update, Brad.
17 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and Cindy's all set. Cindy, good morning. Good morning again. And how's the traffic look at this hour?
Good morning, Brad. It's looking very busy out there. We've got a few things going on now. We are seeing the heavy delays on 291 as you approach the Bissell Bridge eastbound side. Right lane is out. That multi-car crash still being worked on. It's backed up traffic onto I-91 now. A new accident for you, 84 eastbound over by Corbin's Corner. Left lane is closed there. And 69 remains shut down between Clark Road and Bond Road with an accident. Route 63 is going to be your alternate between Waterbury and New Haven. Southbound on Wilbercross Parkway, very busy today. It's just lots of extra volume over Sikorsky Bridge. No reports of any accidents. And 95 south and exit 45, there was an earlier two-car crash in the construction zone near Long Wharf. This report is brought to you by Lung Cancer Foundation of America. If you or someone you know has lung cancer, the Bonnie J. Addario Lung Cancer Foundation can help. Text LUNGS to 50555 to help fund the research needed to find a cure. Go to lungcancerfoundation.org for more. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
The holiday season is upon us, and it's time to get festive at the Talk of Connecticut's Christmas Luncheon with Brad Davis and Dan Lovallo, Tuesday, December 5th at Farmington Gardens. We'll kick off the Command Corporation Toys for Tots collection. Dennis House from WFSB will give an unforgettable reading of The Night Before Christmas. Rob Ray, host of The Big D Is Back, will play all of your holiday favorites, and Brad and Dan will host a holiday sing-along. But tickets are going fast. Call 860-768-8550 and join us on December 5th for this year's Christmas Luncheon with Brad and Dan and the Talk of Connecticut.
18 minutes after 8 o'clock, say, you know, I talk a lot about New Balance shoes. I got 3 pair, and I wear them all the time. Nothing like them. Michael DeCibio, you've got to meet him. You'll find him at Evergreen Walk in South Windsor and the Avon Marketplace, 380 West Main Street, Route 44 in Avon. Now, there's a couple of things that are going to hit you right away. What did it for me was the Roomier toe box, okay? Now, I've had a lot of calls. I had a call a few weeks ago from somebody who works for an ambulance company, He heard me talking about these New Balance shoes. He went in. He had a problem with his ankles. He went in to New Balance, bought a pair of their shoes, the ones that I've been talking about, hasn't had a problem with the ankles since because of the way the shoes are constructed. You have got to see them. And I'll tell you one thing. Michael DeCibio has put together a staff. Both locations have an on-site custom repair and design workshop. He has got all kinds of shoes. Wait until the kids see the sneakers. That's right. New Balance Shoes, Evergreen Walk, South Windsor, the Avon Marketplace, 380 West Main Street, Route 44 in Avon.
Back in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, running for governor, seeking the GOP gubernatorial nomination, Bob Stefanowski. Bob, you have a bill of rights of some sort?
Yeah, I think part of the plan needs to be have more accountability around government. And I think the first thing is to introduce term limits. If you look at the Constitution, it was never intended that people would have political careers for life. It was intended that people come in and they help, and then they move back out into the world and get some more experience. So part of my plan will be to have term limits, including the governor role. Part of the plan will be able to the process of having a referendum. And it'll have to be a high bar, right? You'll need to have a lot of votes to get it. But if we had a referendum when the state income tax was put in, we probably could have gotten rid of that because there were enough people in Connecticut that hated it. And I think there needs to be more transparency and there needs to be more ability for people to influence this government. So term limits, referendum, recall is another one. You know, if you got a politician in there that's not getting it done, and again, it needs to be a high bar, but we should be able to take these people out of office if they're not getting it done.
You know, you look at some of the liberal states. Massachusetts has the ballot initiative. California has the ballot initiative and the power of recall.
Yep. And you know, you look at the last 8 years, some of those tools would have been very, very helpful to preventing us from being the problem we're in right now.
Now, on your website, and I do direct people to your website, bobforgovernor.com, you write that you are not taking state taxpayer campaign money. Is that correct?
I am not. And that gives me, and I'm not against the program because I think it creates a level playing field. But I've been fortunate enough to be successful. I'm not a self-funder. I put some money in up front, and I'm raiding third-party money. But I'm kind of proud of the fact that I don't have to tap into the taxpayers for $1.4 million to run my campaign. I mean, we're in a budget situation right now. I think the program makes sense. I would argue that $1.4 million is probably a little bit too high to run a primary. It's probably too much money coming out of the taxpayers' pocket. But I've been successful, and I'm going to do it through some of my own money and money that we're raising from third parties.
How long, just listening to you for the past hour, almost an hour now.
Yes, sir.
But how long did you think of all the things that you've talked about this morning, all the money, this and that? I mean, this is the first time anybody has sat with Dan and myself and talked like this that wants to be governor.
Well, I think I'm different. You know, again, I've got a blue-collar background growing up in New Haven. I've got experience running businesses. And really, for me, it was I care about this state. I've thought about it long and hard. It really started when I got back from London, and I wanted to get back to Connecticut. This is where our friends are. This is where my family is. My dad's in the same house for 50 years in New Haven, and I was shocked with the state of the state. And I was shocked with the sense of pessimism. And if there's one thing, you know, we need to talk about is it's not too late. It starts with the economy, and we can turn this thing around. If we get the right leadership in the governor role, and we got a good chance as Republicans of taking over the House and the Senate, we can fix this state. So I think people need to be optimistic. I know it seems ugly right now, but other states have done it. It starts with tax and regulatory reform. And I can absolutely do it for this state. And that'll make me the proudest man in the world if we can get it done for this state.
Now, you know, Bob, this is interesting because many candidates who we've had on our program already, Republican and Democrat, you know, although they touch on the economy, most of them, particularly the Democrats, say the way we're going to turn Connecticut around is to emphasize our urban areas, a Hartford, a New Haven, a Waterbury. How do you address that?
Listen, we have to fix those states, but you look at Hartford, for example, and I was with Price Waterhouse in Hartford for 6 years, working in the Gold Building. I met my wife, Amy, there. I love Hartford. but Hartford is going to have to file for bankruptcy. It just is going to have to. And the sooner we realize that, and the sooner we stop throwing good money after bad, and look at what happened in Detroit. It's not necessarily the worst thing. These bondholders who have lent Hartford money, nobody twisted their arm to do it. They need to feel some of the pain. So we need to have the tough decisions. But continuing to tax and spend, the last 25 years has proven that doesn't work. We need a new direction.
Well, you actually touched upon something earlier in the interview with the state budget, which essentially gives another $40 million on top of the $270 million a year Hartford gets.
Yeah.
That's just for this year. It doesn't solve the problem for next year or the year after.
It's exactly right. And I go back to General Electric, right? If they came with a plan of $40 million and that saves the city, you know, maybe you go with it. But the narrative was, well, here's $40 million. We're still not sure whether it saves us, but it gets us through another couple of years. It's the problem with our governor. You got to make the tough decision. And the sooner you do it, the better. You know, and while we're giving them $40 million to bail out a city that we're going to have to file for bankruptcy, we're cutting Medicaid benefits for seniors. I mean, it's all, as a leader, you got to be able to prioritize things and focus on the things that are important. And when you get a 900-page budget with 2 hours to review it, it's very hard to prioritize.
Now, you have been with Dan and myself for an hour.
Hey, you guys have been great. Thank
it's
you.
It's almost over.
Thank you. Hopefully you have me back.
But, don't worry about that. But you've got to take this kind of a message, and I'm sure you know that, around this state.
Yeah.
And I think it's just natural, common sense, that people are going to be attracted to something like this, because we've got to have change. Connecticut has got to have change, dramatic change, and then we will be what the Nutmeg State is and was for many, many years.
And I agree with you. We got to get our pride back. We got to stop worrying about what's happened. We got to stop complaining, and we got to talk about what's next. And that starts on Monday for me with the economic plan to save this state. We should be proud of this state. We can turn it around. Other states have done it. We need leadership. We need somebody that's done it before, which I have. We need somebody with some gravitas, which I have. And we need somebody that people are going to be proud to say, I'm proud of my governor of Connecticut. I'm not sure we have that right now. And the other thing to look at on my website at bobforgovernor.com is testimonials from the last 20 years from employees. People have been proud of the organizations I've run. And we can do that for Connecticut. People just need to hang in there and be optimistic. I've got a countdown clock on my website. It's the number days, hours, and minutes till Malloy is out of office. And every time I look at it, it cheers me up. But it's going to end. You know, it's not forever. And if I can get in there and get this economic plan working, we can absolutely fix this state, guys.
Let's have the breakfast plug again, so people that are perhaps just joining us now, Bob,
yep,
would love to come and
sure,
hear what you're going to present.
Sure. Monday morning, starting at 7:30 to 9:30. Come by anytime. It's in Windsor at the Hilton Garden Inn. It'll be Dr. Arthur Laffer, who is Ronald Reagan's chief economist, who I've known for 20 years, who's endorsed my economic plan for Connecticut. It's absolutely free of charge. It's to get the message out. And I hope that everybody in the Windsor area, all your listeners, can make it. Go up for bobforgovernor.com. Click on what's happening, and you can register to be there.
Now, speaking of Windsor, there's a debate among GOP gubernatorial candidates next week in Windsor. Will you be at that debate?
I've got a busy week with Laffer here. I'm going to try to make it.
Okay.
I think the debates are healthy. We're having one every month for the next 5 months, so there's going to be plenty of time to do it. It depends on how long it takes with Dr. Laffer. I'm in support of the debates. We got plenty of them coming up.
Yeah, okay.
That's great.
Have you debated before?
I've done it before, and I'm looking forward to it here. I think, you know, I can match my experience and resume up against, I think, any candidate, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
We have about 30 seconds left. Anything you'd like to add for our audience?
Again, be positive. You know, we can fix this state. It starts with the economy. I've done it before. People need to start thinking about the future. It starts with lower taxes, less regulation. I've got a plan to do it. I've done it in the private sector for 30 years. And we can fix this state, get a governor that we're proud of, and turn this state around. And that's what I'm going to do.
And you like Ronald Reagan.
And his economic advisor.
Yes, yes, he's got him with him.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, we'll see you on Monday. And again, I hope that
Dan and I are coming Monday.
Yeah, excellent.
And hopefully you'll get a nice turnout in Windsor on Monday as well, Monday morning.
Listen, I really appreciate it, guys. You're terrific. I appreciate you giving me an hour and your listeners. And, you know, we're going to move forward hard.
Well, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Coming up to 8:30 in the morning, my dear friends, 1-888-574-2723 is our telephone number. And Dan and I will be back. Stay with us. More to come.